Now, back to the guys.
Gresh and Fourier on WEEI.
Everybody makes mistakes. Everybody has those days.
The bloody blue hell is this, Turf?
That's everybody makes mistakes, even NFL officials.
Yeah, but who in the world sings this? Is this
That'd be Hannah Montana.
Oh, man. We went down the road of Hannah Montana, ladies
and
gentlemen.
Kids Bop now?
Yeah, seriously, right? Well, you couldn't find anything. Lizzie McGuire. Wasn't that like the generation before? Wasn't it Lizzie McGuire that went into Hannah Montana or something like that, or how that all worked? I don't know. It's all that weird Disney stuff, right?
Yes, like
the
well,
whole
weird.
No.
Disney stuff.
No. What I mean by that is that it feels a little cultish if you're, you know, one
That's
of
Disney.
Yeah, one 100%. Of the like 12 to 15 year olds that are going to be, you know, roaming around on set. Oh, by the way, sit down with this guy over here who's going to teach his third kid of the day the basic math stuff that kids in seventh grade would be going through. Oh, and by the way, you're back on set with probably some creepy producer or director in an hour and a half.
Why is he going to be creepy?
So make sure, just do a Google and you'll understand why. With some of these shows, there are people who raise their hand afterwards and are like, wait a minute, that wasn't right. He didn't realize it at the time, but be that as it may, everybody makes mistakes, and well, there were a lot made in the conference championship games. Of course, Philadelphia blows doors against San Francisco 31-7. Kansas City beats Cincinnati on a late field goal 23-20. Worst officiating weekend, Hart, the NFL officials or the NBA officials?
NFL.
Wow, why?
Because it was continuous throughout the games. Like, we're going to fixate on one call here in Boston, Celtics, Lakers, LeBron, the whole thing. Yep. And LeBron brought it, you know, to another level with his hissy fit afterwards. I mean, no one, I don't think, is arguing that the NBA is fixing games, which is a change for them because they've been through, they've been down that road before. But there are people that legitimately think, and maybe you can explain this to me. I need to do some research. Who are these people that claim the NFL is now categorized like WWE as sports entertainment so that they can fix their games and they're not breaking the law? Have you heard this argument, that this conspiracy theory online?
It is. It's completely silly.
Okay. I thought so. I just kind of ignored it, but I wanted to get some verification.
Just quickly, for those who throw around the sports entertainment and you go down the world of wrestling.
Yeah.
Vince McMahon pulled the curtain back on that in the late 80s and the early 90s, A, because they were sniffing around the steroid stuff, and B, it was to avoid being taxed like athletes. That's really what it was. Instead of being professional wrestling, Vince McMahon created the term sports entertainment so he can say, we're like the circus. We're not like the NFL.
Right.
So don't hit my people or don't hit me with jock taxes and things like that. And now that the term is being bastardized into, because again, if these people really want to go down that road, right? You know, Saturday was the Royal Rumble. All right. They knew what was happening 3 days before the Royal Rumble. So what day do the NFL is rigged crowd, what time will they be calling in, Hart, to this show to be able to tell us that the fix is already in and that you can start to make your bets on one side or the other? Because in all seriousness, and let's use the silliness of pro wrestling, there's a guy who texted and said, hey, guys, congrats on the spot-on picks for the Royal Rumble. Billy and I were feeling the same thing. It was the whole, here was going to win the men's, here was going to win the women's. You could see the way it was trending with the storyline and all that stuff. So you could guess and kind of know. So if it's all rigged, then tell us who's going to win the Super Bowl. In fact, here's what you should do. If you think you're so flippin' smart that you know that the NFL is rigged, maybe you shouldn't tell us until after you go to a sports book and go make yourself a millionaire.
Correct.
If you're that smart, if you're that committed to something that stupid, then go make a bunch of money and then call us and say, not only have I figured it out, I went all in to the point to where I mortgaged my house because I know the NFL is rigged and here's who's going to win.
I would also argue, what is the driving factor in the rigging? Is it gambling related? Is it storyline related? Is it, you know, oh, we need to get this team a Super Bowl. We owe the owner, like they do with Super Bowls. Oh, we promised India a Super Bowl, so you'll have a Super Bowl if you build a stadium.
Jacksonville.
Like, what is the impetus for the rigging? I would ask that.
Right.
Are they making money? Are they making their business partners money, their casino partners? Are they protecting them against losses? What is, or does it vary week to week?
That's right. And if the owners automatically know that it's completely rigged, then why wouldn't they be the ones who would say, hey, junior sales boy, come here. Here's $25,000. Go drop it on this and just spread that money around. And then pay the vig and the owner collects.
Plus, Detroit got a Super Bowl as a host. Wouldn't they be due to, I don't know, win a playoff game? Detroit, if it's all rigged, wouldn't we be able to sneak them into the playoffs?
Yeah, wouldn't you think that, you know, the NFL might say, nah, let's redirect all the controversy from Cleveland. Let's grease the skids so that they can make the playoffs as well.
So I don't believe it's rigged.
So stupid.
But the fact that you have such incapable officiating or questionable officiating that it leaves a large, because this is not a Rich Keefe conspiracy. Here, there's a large portion of the fan base, at least on Twitter and social media, that felt it was rigged yesterday, that they were watching something that wasn't quite on the up and up. And the fact that you left that many people feeling that way, you have a problem. It's not that your games are rigged, it's the perception they're rigged.
It is, and the social media outcry, which there will be some in the NFL office who will just be like, hey, that's social media, it is what it is. StealthVid makes a great point in the Twitch chat, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI, follow WEEI on Twitch. Says, I'm positive 31 other owners loved letting the Patriots dominate for 20 years.
No.
Nah, it's long-term booking, brother. That's what it is. It's like John Cena's rise to the top, according to those who want to, like, and so we get this one here. What makes you so smart to think otherwise? You don't know any more than anyone else. Well, there you go, 207. So the storyline for the NFL for 20 years was, let's let the Patriots dominate, right?
Yep.
And the storyline now is, let's say, so Mr. 207 knows it all. So he's questioning me on the whole, how do you know? Because there's a lot of stuff that doesn't make sense. You just nailed one. The Detroit Lions, they get a Super Bowl, but if the NFL's rigging everything, then you just let them get to 9 wins? Why wouldn't you let them make it into the playoffs? Why wouldn't you turn it into a great story? Why wouldn't you suck in a top 5 television market into the playoff structure? Why would you allow Green Bay to be great?
How about Dallas?
What does Green Bay give you in a tangible benefit to the overall growth of the National Football League? This is where we go into the level of stupid that is society. Is there a problem, as you mentioned? Yep, there's a big perception problem, and the NFL has got to tighten things up a little bit to fix their own processes. But to think that the NFL said, you know what, Robert Kraft, you're so important to the league, we're going to rig it for your team to be really good for 20 years. If you think that, then you really are sorry. I don't want to insult listeners. You're not dumb. You're stupid.
And why do you watch?
Yeah, right. What's the point of watching then if you're really truly in on it? Now, let's get serious. How do you tighten things up if you're in the NFL? Well, the first thing that I would do is got to have another on-field official. I need another set of eyes to watch 22 men going in different directions on a same play where everything is moving so quick and the ball leaves the quarterback's hands inside 3 seconds.
This is a cop-out answer. To me, it's all about consistency. I just don't see the consistency across the board from crew to crew, game to game, point in the season to point in the season on enough rules. Pass interference, illegal contact, roughing the passer, and a catch. Like, there's just inconsistencies that we – and I'm not going to – I like to play a know-it-all on the radio a lot.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how to fix this necessarily. I don't know what the be-all, end-all answer is how you can get – you know, a ticky-tack roughing the passer call in one game and a guy gets popped and doesn't get the call in the other than more meetings, more memos, more... Like, these are supposed to be capable, smart men, right? They're accomplished, most of them. They're lawyers and doctors.
I was just gonna say,
smart men.
Brilliant people who, quite honestly, don't need the job.
Right, which I kind of like.
It's a nice pot of money for them.
I kind of like, because the more beholden you are to the job, you're probably more beholden to possibly being on the take or any of those things that we're going to talk more and more about in the gambling era as it continues to grow. But how do you get smart, capable men of officiating the game with more consistency? Is it, that's the simple key to me. And I know, it's a cop-out. It is not a substantial answer, because I don't really actually think one more set of eyes matters. Could it help? Sure, incrementally.
Mm-hmm.
Is it the answer? Because I still see things where there's two or three guys staring where they're supposed to be staring who don't get the call right. So I can add a fourth guy. It's like a union job. I can keep adding guys. But are we getting the call right in the end?
Well, but I think if you add the extra set of eyes, it helps in terms of trying to reposition would be the wrong word. But obviously, there are different officials on the field that are responsible for different parts of every play. Mm-hmm. By the way, I think that is something that people don't understand. I think that what might help the NFL is for them to really do a, listen, whether it's online, NFL Network, you know, put Mike Giardi to work, for God's sakes.
And
he was taking him at you on our text, so all you got to do is check your phone. Yeah, exactly. Of course. Oh, he's back from Cincinnati now. He's got nothing to do.
Lazy SOB. I think he's going to the Super Bowl.
Oh, really? Oh, good for him.
He's a big-timer now.
And coach?
He's rising up the ranks at NFL Network.
No, but, like, put Giardi on it or something. But seriously, break it down so that it's not a player level tutorial, right? But something that the fans can really digest.
Yeah.
Right? What does the back judge do? What does the line judge do? All this stuff is out there, but you've got to make it digestible and easy for people to be able to find. And how much would a little bit of education for fans go a long way to calming down the mob in the moment?
But would it work? I agree with you in one sense, but we brought it up earlier. The 2-minute report in the NBA.
Right.
Theoretically is supposed to help. I don't know that it's helped.
I agree.
And if you do this, I don't know that you can sell. You need a good liar. You need somebody who's really good at their job. The NHL does it.
We picked the perfect host then.
The NHL does it with their suspensions and those hits when they put those videos out.
The player safety department does
that. I mean, slow motion and exactly what and why and how. But would you be able to do it is my question. If you put out a video as to why it wasn't roughing the passer on Joe Burrow, you can't say because he didn't flop and sell it.
Okay, well.
You know what I mean?
No, like, it's an excellent point. But I was going to ask you, do you think that getting that granular in terms of plays is kind of the way, like, would the NFL want to go there because they realize that the system is flawed? So would they, in a way, in trying to be transparent, actually point out something that they're eminently aware of and have been for decades?
Possibly. Like, for example, you probably wouldn't get the Joe Burrow one because they're not going to do every play. They're not going to do 12 plays.
No.
The Mahomes run on the sideline, you could do.
One.
And absolutely, while I don't want it necessarily called and it kind of rubbed me the wrong way, I think you can absolutely say, pause it. Patrick Mahomes is a step and a half or a step on the sideline.
Right.
Player makes contact, which leads to Mahomes being put in danger when he goes to the ground in the bench area. I think you can explain it in a way that people would say, I don't like it, but when you say that, you're right. It's probably a 15-yard penalty, right? And does that quell some people? Does that alleviate some of the questions? And if you chip away at the
eventually
people,
you educate everybody, yes, and they kind of get it.
But I do think there is value in that. Now, it doesn't always work. I've sat in those. So in August, the official crews come to training camp.
Oh, good. Walk through this.
They're on the field. They officiate practice. Players can ask questions. They'll throw flags and then explain it to the player. Oh, you know, you grabbed him by the hip. You spun him. We're going to call that every time in a game if you do that. Blah, blah, blah. They meet with the coaches and the players off the field. Questions are asked. They always have a video ready, generally based on highlights from the last year of things, points of emphasis. You can't do this. You can't do that. Then they come into the media workroom. They show the same video to reporters. Reporters can ask questions. I've watched some of those and still not understood it. I've heard officials answer questions on the video they're showing, which is supposed to lay the foundation for the way the game is going to be officiated for a year. They answer questions and you're like, that didn't make any sense. I don't feel any smarter or more educated now than before you walked in the room. So it works in theory. Again, you have to have the right person. The right person has to do it. We talked about it earlier with the experts on all the various crews and booths.
Yep.
Some are better than others. Some are really good. Some sell it. Like, I think Dean Blandino is pretty good because he's generally pretty decisive, offers. But if you're going to do it like, well, it's close and I don't know, maybe could be. Nope, nobody wants to hear that. You're an official. This is what you do. You make a call one way or the other, foul or not foul, right? So I think you have to, if you're going to do these videos and try to educate the public on what's going on and what the technique is, it takes the absolute perfect spokesman.
You nailed something too in terms of those guys don't want to be wrong because right. But I would rather hear one of them say, here's the rule, here's what I'm seeing, here's what I would do, and then you go to the field for the call. Even if the guy in the booth disagrees with the ultimate call,
yeah,
he is then the person to be like, hey, here's how I saw it, but here's why they did it this way, blah, blah, blah. That's okay. But I think even those guys are now like, well, I kind of don't know how they're going to do it. And then they wait for the call, and then they break the thing down.
Right.
Whereas it should be the other way around.
It's a little bit like we've had the recent discussion about the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Yes.
And some people believe, and I kind of lean in this direction, Hall of Famers should be you say the name and the person says yes or no.
Right.
Not this, oh, I got to research it for weeks and have discussions with all these people. You know it when you see it argument, Hall of Famer.
Mm-hmm.
I would hope officiating would be more like that. You know it when you see it. Trust your officials. They make a call. Is that pass interference? Not, well, in the subset rule 32.74QY.
Oh.
No. Is it pass interference?
Right.
Like the one in the middle of the field yesterday on, was it on Kittle?
Mm.
Or I forget which game it was. The guy just ran right through the tight end a full step before the ball arrived. It's the perfect
that
pass
was,
interference.
I think that was the NFC Championship game.
But,
yeah.
Like, let them call the game, but make decisive calls. Like, the more there's gray area and the more there's, oh, after getting together, we have changed the call. It's like, okay, what's going on here? Something's a little fishy when you guys are
you know, and
to
it's really funny. Like, that used to be the, hey, how come you guys don't talk about it? Now when they do, it's like, see, they don't know what they're doing.
Or they looked up at the big board and they reviewed it when they're not really supposed to review it. But, hey, there was a 75x75 TV in front of their eyes while they were talking about it. Oops, I saw it.
There is that part of it as well. We've got the Celtics, to get into. They took on the Lakers this weekend. Bruins have lost three in a row. And off of these conference championship games, what does San Francisco do at quarterback? I think Hart and I might be driving in the same car.
No matter where you work from these days, take Gresh and Fourier with you on the Odyssey app. Favorite WEEI.
Turf, did you have to ride around in a car when you were a real youngin listening to like 80s and 90s music? Like I remember when I was younger, we'd be driving back from like my grandma's house or something. My dad would have on like probably like the music of the 60s or whatever. It was miserable driving back, right? And Terp is 21 years old and plays all these songs from the 80s. And I'm thinking to myself, what?
Well, there's a playlist on Spotify, so that's the cheat code.
Is that really all it is? Is that like the lasting impression of John Anderson is that he left the Spotify accessibility?
He didn't even leave it for me.
Oh, he didn't.
So I was left out to dry.
Oh, wow, that's typical. That's a Mike Giardi move right there. But
oh, wow, cheap shot across the bow.
To who, Anderson or Giardi?
Both.
Oh, listen to you co-signing niceties for Giardi now. What are you sticking up for him?
Poor guy's a little down. They've been working him to the bone over at that NFL Network. But also, music, I am stunned at what is coming back. My kids, like, I'll walk into a room and all this early 90s music is playing, and I'm like, wait a minute, this is my music. What are we doing here? And it all comes back.
And then they instantly hate it and turn it off,
well,
right?
Well, I think what happens is it gets cool because they're watching some show, and some show used it. Right, like that happened a lot I forget which one it was, but Crueler Things. What's the...
Stranger Things. Brings a lot of music back because
there's like 80s and 90s music or whatever.
Billy's on it.
Yeah. And it's like, so they make it cool, and you're right. If we just played it, it wouldn't be cool. But because it's in some show or online or some TikTok did it, now it's cool.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
Get a TikTok it.
That's right. If the TikTokers are on it.
Kind of like Joey Bosa. Big TikToker.
Oh, yeah. Joey Bosa got he got a warm welcome from a Philadelphia fan walking into the stadium to watch his brother, Nick, who plays for the 49ers, lose in Philadelphia. Speaking of the 49ers, Tom Brady's there next year, is he not?
Absolutely.
Why would they mess around? They restructured the contract before the season of one Jimmy Garoppolo. They were committed to around the $23, $24 million level for Garoppolo, and then they chopped up his deal and all that stuff. You got Trey Lance, who, what a waste of first-round capital. That guy, it's never going to work out for him. However, they're still going to sell the hope, Jerry, the hope that maybe, just maybe, this guy might turn out to be something. So that's another reason why you bring in Tom Brady. And then you have Brock Purdy, who is making no money, easy to have on the roster. There's your third quarterback. If you're San Francisco, 3 out of 4 years you've been in a conference title game, you went to the Super Bowl once, the biggest thing holding them back is quarterback. So go get a sure thing. Or are we too smart in this situation?
It's too obvious, right?
It seems to be.
It's so obvious on so many levels. It's a Bucks-like Super Bowl-ready team. Can he tweak it, add somebody here or there with him recruiting Tom Brady? Sure.
Yep.
But they're littered with talent on both sides of the football. You put him throwing to Debo and McCaffrey and Kittle and those guys, playmakers. They're going to make plays for him. We talked about it earlier, the offensive line. You don't think he'd like having Trent Williams as his left tackle? So the coaching, quarterback easy offense, quarterback friendly offense. And I know there'd probably be some blending of what Brady wants to do, what Shanahan wants to do.
He'd figure it out. Those two would figure it out real quick.
Absolutely. Maniacs. Yeah. They'd have it figured out by passing camp.
Agreed.
And, unlike the Patriots, who didn't have it figured out by December when they tried to blend systems.
Did they have a passing camp?
They didn't look like it. You couldn't tell by what they produced. But they also offer something no one else can. San Francisco. The logo. The Brady growing up as a little kid, Joe Montana.
All I wanted was the foam finger that said 49ers.
The football mistress awaits.
Right. The dream, the last thing that he can accomplish. So when you marry that up with they're also maybe the best team that needs a quarterback.
Yep.
And from their perspective, so you spent whatever it was, $130 million on Jimmy Garoppolo. Then somewhere along the line decided, well, he's really not that good. So you traded 3 first-round picks to get a running back out of low-level college football, knowing he was a developmental project.
Yep.
The only way you can make people forget that idiocy is to go get one of these marquee guys, right? And the easiest is Brady, because he's a free agent. You just say, Tom, you want to come? He says, yes, we do 2 years, $50 million, whatever he's willing to do.
Write the check.
The others, is Lamar available? I don't know if he's available, but if he is, you're going to have to trade for him and pay him a boatload of money. Aaron Rodgers. Oh, that's great. Oh, right the wrong. He should have been the 49ers quarterback all along back in the day. Well, how are you going to do it? Because he wants his money, and you're going to have to trade multiple first-round picks by the argument. Brady's the easy answer. It makes too much sense. I don't know why it wouldn't happen. Even him, if he were thinking about retirement, wouldn't that be the one job you'd say, you know what? I can put off retirement for 1 year to go win a championship with the 49ers. Joe Montana
no
can
doubt.
Watch. Steve Young can watch. Like, you're joining the legacy, the whole thing.
It would really, it would be the team that which Brady would want to retire at or from. That would be the truest version in the Tom Brady world of coming full circle. And I know that he did 80 for Brady or whatever that movie's called. It's 80 for Brady, right?
Yes.
Right. But in terms of the beautiful, romantic football ending for him to go to San Francisco and hoist the Lombardi Trophy.
Perfect.
In that uniform. Right. That is the real exit. In the mind of Gisele Bündchen, Tom Brady winning in Tampa was the exit stage left moment.
Right.
In Tom Brady's mind, it's go get an eighth and do it in San Francisco and really then truly ride off into the sunset.
And the Brock Purdy injury just only strengthens the case, opens
no
the door.
Doubt.
If he goes to the Super Bowl, the first rookie to ever lead his team to the Super Bowl, or he looks real, maybe he loses a shootout with Jalen Hurts, but he throws for 370, it's harder to usurp him to like, well, he's hurt. Oh, it's actually worse than we thought. He's better with a year off. If he takes it easy for a year, maybe he's our guy after Brady. He can try to defend the title a year after Brady wins it. It's there. You give me one good reason why he shouldn't be the 49ers quarterback.
There isn't one.
There isn't one.
Unless he wants money and somebody throws it at him, like the Raiders or someone like that. That's the only thing I can think of. And I don't think, and Brady has never been about top dollar.
Like, I think he loves money, but I think he'd rather win. I don't think he's the guy, like Aaron Rodgers clearly cares about money and MVPs.
Yeah.
I think Brady would love to win another title, and he's going to get paid. It's not like he's going there for $825,000.
He'll make $25 million on the field and
absolutely
$15 million off the field. Like, it's never been about that. Now, let me hit you with this.
And, oh, by the way, isn't that like a money area? Remember Durant went out there business world, blend in with Silicon Valley and learn people.
That's
and
good point.
Couldn't he expand his business and entrepreneurial
no doubt
horizons?
No
not
question.
Sure I said that word right.
If Mac Jones were the 49ers quarterback yesterday, are they getting ready to play Super Bowl 57?
Probably not. I think the Eagles were going to win that game. I think
really?
The Eagles were the better all-around team. Now, it's hard to say. They played without a quarterback. He went whatever it was, 3 for 3 and then threw one screen pass and he was toast.
4 for 4 or whatever it was. Yeah, yeah.
But they played without a quarterback, right. And it's the most important position on the field. Would you give them a quarterback? And I do think Mac Jones, the haters will start to come out of the woodwork that he sucks and this and that.
Of course, of course.
I think he's capable of throwing to Kittle and McCaffrey and Debo and having success with it in that offense with Shanahan. So would they have been better? I still think in the end that the Eagles win. I think this, they didn't have a tough road, right? They go through the Giants. They go through the quarterback-less 49ers at home. It's a pretty easy road. They could get their eyes opened in the Super Bowl, depending on how healthy the Chiefs are.
I think so. And, you know, with the way Chris Jones was playing, I mean, Chris Jones yesterday, there were some who were invoking the name of Aaron Donald in terms of the impact that Chris Jones had in that AFC Championship game for the Chiefs.
Am I wrong on this? Because I was watching with my son and his buddy, and I said, he might be the best athlete in the NFL. Just pure pound for pound, all
Chris
around.
Jones?
Yes.
Interesting.
I think he's on the list.
Wow.
Because the man is a man.
Oh,
he can do things.
He is fast, agile, and accurate. I mean, his pass rush moves are really a joy to watch.
Absolutely.
I know people don't go nuts over, you know, an interior defensive lineman doing some of the things that he does, but it's burst, hand placement, and his feet never stop. Mm. That, to me, is what is, unless you're redirecting, that, to me, is what makes the real great pass rushers, because their feet keep going. They try to beat you with leverage, and then they're going to react to what you're going to do. Spin moves, things like that.
He just seems to me like the classic Parcellian, he'll take his'ins and beat your'ins. If you say you're going to overpower him,
that's right.
Okay, I'll beat you with athleticism. If you want me to beat you with power, I'll beat you with... You tell me how you want me to beat you.
If you flipped him to the other side and he had to match up against Creed Humphrey and Joe Tooney and was it Orlando Brown, he would have been more than... He still would have had an impact. By the way, I saw this. I hope I didn't scroll away from it. Joe Tooney has been in the NFL for 7 seasons. He's played in the AFC title game in 5 of them and will be playing in his 4th Super Bowl. It's pretty insane.
Also just means he played for the Patriots and Chiefs with Brady and Mahomes.
But he also did a hell of a job. And Patriots, big bargain. Chiefs have paid that guy like $40 million over 2 years.
Oh, yeah. He's an $80 million guard.
It's really amazing. And you know what? I know people are like, oh, linemen aren't worth it, really. Ask quarterbacks. Ask Joe Burrow if he'd love to play behind the Kansas City offensive line.
Ask Joe
line.
Burrow. Ask Kansas City and Mahomes before they signed Tooney when they lost a Super Bowl because they couldn't protect the best player on the planet. But yeah, did you know I don't know if people realize this. 2010, last time there was an AFC Championship game that didn't have Mahomes or Brady.
Wow.
Eight straight for the Patriots. Brady, yep. And then it overlapped. Five straight now with Mahomes. There was a little passing of the torch in 2018, I guess that was. But yeah, they've kind of, the AFC runs through those two places for the last decade.
It's pretty amazing.
Plus.
And yet, Brady has played for so long that when people tell the story of Pat Mahomes, and you and I need to get in that in the 1 o'clock hour, the crazy 5 years he's had, but Brady was at the beginning of that as well.
Yeah.
It's really, truly crazy that when people start to tell the story of Pat Mahomes, it's going to be, wah, wah, he dealt with Tom Brady. But then after that, look at what happened.
They dealt with him.
Exactly.
The rest of them.
No, that's very true. 617-779-7937. Celtics beat the Lakers in overtime over the weekend, 125-121. LeBron James throws a hissy fit off of what was a legitimate missed call on a layup for LeBron. He was not happy about the whole thing. But Jaylen Brown with some clutch free throws in overtime. How about that?
Could have used those a couple days earlier.
As soon as we were just dogging the guy out, the next time he's in the big spot in overtime, he ends up knocking down some clutch free throws. And Celtics now, again, they beat the Lakers. They got LeBron crying. And not that all is right in the Celtics world. There was a little bit of a bump in the road, much more because of injuries. When you were down in that Florida swing, you didn't have the full complement of guys. And now, Hart, it is shifting to a little bit. All right, trade deadline's right around the corner. One of the names that I saw over the weekend that was thrown out there in terms of a big, and we know the Celtics are looking for a big, is Charlotte's Mason Plumlee. Could he be an option for a trade, making a little more than $8 million? You got to match 80% of the salary to be able to make a trade. Celtics have been sitting on all these trade exceptions. They've got one that's, I think it's like $5.8 million. So if you did trade exception and for the matching salary and to give them a big, if you give them Luke Kornet and a first round pick, supposedly that's what Charlotte is looking for, really, is that first round pick. The Celtics have the ability to make it work. I guess really the question is, with the kind of year that Plumlee is having, might Charlotte be able to get a better return than just another big, some salary exception, and a first-round pick from a team that will likely be picking very much at the bottom of the draft?
Yeah, I love the idea, and the way you pose it, to me, you're not giving up much.
No.
This is like you added Brogdon without really giving up much.
Correct.
You're adding to your roster. You're improving your roster, and I don't know how anybody cannot want another big. You know, you just look at Rob Williams. He is what he is. Until he's not the guy who misses time, until he's not the guy who's always kind of hurt, that's who he is.
Yep.
And you need to prepare for life without that. You have Al, but Al is who he is at this point in his career, and needing nights off and all of that. And not shooting. I haven't checked the numbers. It feels to me like Al is not shooting like he once did. Because that's one of their hiccups, is their three-point shooting. They have these stretches. They were 0 for 9 at one stretch the other night. They're not as good three-point shooting. And I think that's why they've come back to reality, as much as maybe the injuries and everything else. In that early in the year, they were better in that. But if you can add Plumlee to your bigs so that if Rob Williams misses a game, you don't feel like it's a loss. And he's basically a double-double.
Right? Oh, he's
I mean, I was looking at it, 12 and 9.7. So he's a double-double.
So I do believe, and I read something out there about Plumlee this year, that not only is he that double-double guy, but he's like shooting at like 70% or something.
Yeah, 67%.
There you go. Like, only Wilt has sort of done that, I do believe, in terms of what I've read, in terms of just the kind of year that Plumlee is having. However, if you have Plumlee and then Time Lord and then Al, oh my goodness, with a potential returning Danilo Gallinari, now you've really got a layered roster for Joe Mazzulla to be able to deal with. So Celtics are on the hunt of a big. You're chuckling over there. What'd you find?
Well, the first texter said, check out Plumlee free throws. So he's shooting 61% from the free throw line this year. Last year, he played 73 games. 73 games in which he averaged 24 minutes. He shot 39% from the free throw line.
Oh!
39%. 69%.
So he was 39 last year and is up into 61 the low 60s this year.
Yeah, he's taking a lot improvement, and he's taking a lot more free throws. Almost doubling his free throws from last year, and his percentage is much higher. Probably why his points is up from 6 to 12 this year.
So putting him, if he's around 61 or 62%, that's just a couple ticks below Robert Williams, who this year is at 667 for free throws and career 665. So basically 66.5% from the free throw line. For
Is he the guy? I was watching that game. He is the guy that sucked so bad he started shooting with his left hand. That is him. Oh. I was watching the game. He was so bad, and it would make some sense after 39% last
year. I was just going to say, yeah, I throw it in underhand, for God's
sake. He now shoots with his offhand, and he's better at it than he was with his dominant hand, which, you know, calling it dominant is a bit misleading.
Of course, exactly. Well, it just means you misses more. You miss more with one versus the other.
Wow, I could beat him in a free throw contest.
Don't.
If he comes to town, I want to challenge. That's what Christian does. Remember when Christian thought he could be a goalie?
Right. I know. That's why I'm stopping you.
Yeah, but 39%.
They're not going to lower the rim for you.
I don't need it lowered for freaking free throws. It's just if they want me to, like, lay it in or dunk or anything like that, then I'll need the kiddie hoop you hang on the front.
How low? Because I have one of those wind-up, wind-down hoops at home. At what level would I have to get it to for you to be able to naturally dunk?
Now?
Yeah.
Pretty low.
Eight?
In the old days, not low at all. I could dunk a marble.
Dunking on 9.5? We're talking about
here. I could dunk a marble at 10 feet.
Stop. You could touch rim?
I could.
Wow.
I'd probably pull a hammy now if I tried.
Could jump, huh?
Oh, I could get... I had a little... And it looked... Because I'm so short, it actually looks good. You got like that spud web, like, wow, he floats through the air for a little bit. Big fatty.
Spud web.
Telling you, I used to be able to grab rim.
That's impressive.
Well, it was impressive. You see, you keep saying present tense. I'm using past tense. Let's make sure we have our tenses right here. I don't want to mislead anybody. No chance. I'm not
even
sure.
Could you get net now, though?
I could definitely get net.
Okay.
And again, I may pull a hammy. I may pull something.
We got to stretch first.
The threat of pulling is always an issue for me these days. Always.
Really?
Oh, God, yes.
Oh.
Have you ever tried to move, like, lately, like, at a quick pace for some reason? Sprint? Dart in one direction or another, jump.
Oh.
The muscles don't do what they're supposed to do anymore.
I took the word pull differently. I'm sorry. No. We'll recap the Royal Rumble next.
WEEI, WEEI, New England Sports Original. This is Gresh and Fourier on WEEI.
Get Boston Sports Original on the go, wherever you go. Just download the Odyssey app.
Andy Hart, when's the last time you watched a Royal Rumble back in the day of...
It's been a while.
It's been a while.
It's been at least 5 years.
Okay,
five
all right.
5 to 7 years.
Not as... I thought you might have been late 90s, early 2000s or
something. Bushwhackers,
so,
when they marched in and marched right out.
That is true. There was that, the great Luke and Butch. But we did touch on it on Friday. The Royal Rumble was Saturday in the, you ready for this, Hart? Alamo Dome.
Oh, nice.
52,000 people showed up for rigged. That's right. It's rigged, and we know it. But unlike the NFL, Billy Lanny and I were incredibly successful. In fact, if you were one who would... not like we're encouraging this or anything, but if you do some business with some offshore wagerers, you would have been able to get some odds and bet on the Royal Rumble. Now, it was probably capped at anywhere from 100 to 500 in terms of your wager. But Rhea Ripley of the Judgment Day won the Women's Royal Rumble. And how about this, Andy Hart? It's every 90 seconds that one of the 30 competitors comes in until there's 30, and then you finish the match. Rhea Ripley went from beginning to end, was the number one entrant in the Rumble, and went all the way to 30 and won the damn thing.
Wow.
That's like 90 minutes of all kinds of whatnot, or at least taking one power move before somebody else comes down the aisle.
Well, the good news is in the Rumble, can't you hide in the corner for 5 minutes?
You definitely can. Oh, yeah. Shenanigans can happen. Yeah. It's called being smart.
Right.
And Cody Rhodes ended up winning the Men's Royal Rumble, although Billy Lanny and I had a beef with the way the show was set up. They started with the Men's Rumble. It's really like the main event.
Hey, sexist, what do you got? What's wrong with that?
Well,
no, you could have started with the Women's Rumble.
Could have started with the Women's Rumble
very
easily.
The fact that you started with a Rumble.
Yes.
Oh, so you didn't want either Rumble
right,
to start.
No. Exactly.
Okay.
Right. Give me a hot match to start like a singles match, then go into a Rumble, then give me another one, and then a Rumble, and then the big main event, which, by the way, Roman Reigns kept the WWE Championship. However, they paid off a unbelievable storyline where Roman Reigns is a part of the Anoa'i family, which is basically The Rock and all those. Find in the word of the wrestling biz, you find an island boy, you probably got somebody who knows how to take a bump and might be able to beat your ass as well.
Okay.
Because a lot of those Samoans are not to be trifled
with. Careful, I get yelled at on Patriots.com when I said I like Samoans to play D-line for me.
Hey, listen,
somebody's like, you can't say that.
Really? Well, Jim Harbaugh subscribes to that theory, and so do a lot of teams on the West Coast. So, yeah, exactly. If I can go out there and get me guess who played defensive tackle at Georgia Tech for a period of time? The man now known as Roman Reigns in WWE. So, right, people will be like, oh, I can't say that. Fine, you say not say that. I'll go find me a 350-pound nose tackle that you can't move. But they paid it off fabulously. The whole bloodline splitting and all that kind of stuff. And they've done a decent job of setting up Royal Rumble, including if you like a match of, like, the hosses, right? The real big guys.
Yeah.
Bobby Lashley, who was a champion amateur wrestler in his own right, also fought in Bellator as well.
Okay.
And Brock Lesnar, who, as we know, fought in UFC. Two guys in their mid-40s that don't look it. They are brick bleep houses. Apparently, those two are going to tangle at the Rumble. And those guys, I don't say there's a little bit of animosity, but there is the competitiveness of the, yeah, we're in a different sport, but we're also kind of shoot fighters as well.
Right.
Like, if you were to look at all the people in that locker room and you would say, who are among the five guys that no one would legitimately try to test or step to? Lashley and Lesnar would probably be two of those guys. They're both 275 pounds walking the planet, let alone whenever they get into shape and ready to beat somebody's ass.
So where is Mania?
Mania this year is in L.A. SoFi Stadium gets Mania. Now, there's the rumblings that The Rock might be there. I don't think it's going to be there.
Why not? He's a Hollywood guy. He's an L.A. guy. Let's go.
He's got major motion pictures and sitcoms to make.
So fly him in, do it, and fly him out.
Well, here's the thing is, like, when you look at The Rock.
The Rock also said that he's not in good shape to wrestle WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Excuse me, I've seen him.
No.
He's in fine shape.
No, right. There's a big difference.
Glamour muscles.
Well, that's the thing. It's glamour muscles. So when The Rock came back and wrestled at MetLife Stadium against John Cena.
Yeah.
Within, like, the first 2 minutes, he tore his groin and had to go 15 more minutes on a bum groin. And that's when he was like, plus the other thing, too, is...
So he's like me. He pulls things easily.
Easily. Yeah, that's right. Nice. To bring it full circle, there we go. But, yeah, like, he's got the glamour muscles to where he looks good on camera, but he's also, like, 49 years old.
Yeah.
It takes a while to be able to get into shape, to be able to, you know, do that and not hurt yourself.
So manage it. Not looking to get the best match in history.
I
just want you to show up and play your damn music and get them excited.
Yeah, give me a 15-minute match, if
that. If that. I don't even need that.
Here's
the thing. I was a Goldberg fan. All of his matches lasted less than that.
That is very true. And even he came back at 53 and made a fool of himself.
Yeah.
Yeah, that wasn't good in the end.
Was that in Saudi Arabia where he tried to jackhammer Taker, right?
Yeah, he tried to give a
powerbomb.
No, it looked bad.
So if The Rock is going to end up looking like that, I would say save yourself from the world.
All right. Well, however, there's a lot of rumblings that Stone Cold Steve Austin is going to be back. And there are videos of that guy working out. Oh, my God. 58 years old? You'd be like, what? I mean,
so he found the good stuff again.
I don't know about the good stuff, but
the average stuff.
Oh, look, no, look, are those guys like, is The Rock on some
everything?
HGH
He's
or
on
something?
Everything.
Yeah.
No one cares in Hollywood. It's been one of my gripes of all time. Stallone, they're roided out of their minds.
Right. They got to look good.
And no one cares.
Got to.
Because I guess technically
the
they're not competing, so there's no unfair advantage.
Well, again, they're sports entertainers.
And I want them big.
Right.
There's nothing worse than like a big badass who isn't big and a badass.
Right?
Like in the movies, you want your big badass to be a big badass.
Yeah, you want him to look the part.
Right.
Absolutely.
Like if he's throwing somebody through a wall, I don't want to think, well, he was assisted by a cable and something behind the scenes.
It's part of the reason Jesse Ventura ended up getting into movies in the 80s because he had a look about him where you're like, that guy looks like he would be able to hurt you if he wanted to.
So what is the title at Mania?
It is WrestleMania Goes Hollywood.
No, I mean the title match.
Oh, well, it's likely to be Roman Reigns against the music that you heard coming back, Cody Rhodes, who won the Men's Rumble.
Yes.
Of course, the great son of the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes, baby.
And I saw his post-press conference they were hyping up with new Mountain Dew Black. I love how
I just need a drink, and look what's in front of me. I'll just open up this soda and drink it on
camera. At least they opened it. Other people don't even acknowledge it.
That's right. No one else did. Yeah, he did the smart thing. But Cody Rhodes came back from, I don't know if you saw the photo from early of 2022. Cody Rhodes tore his pec in a match and still wrestled a cage match with it.
Ooh.
You got to see it when he slides his jacket off and the fan sees it's just all purple. And the guy was like, you know what? Vince McMahon is paying me a couple million bucks. I'm going to grind this one out, then get the surgery.
Not like Brock
Purdy.
He's a
guy after your own heart.
He's no Brock Purdy. I'm just going to hang out on the sideline, even though we need a quarterback, and I kind of can still throw, but my team will just fall apart.
No Brock Purdy, no Brock Lesnar either. There you go. Your quick Royal Rumble recap. The first five years of Patrick Mahomes has been pretty good. That's where we start the final hour. Gresh and Hart in for Fourier next.